Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the church today. Comfort for the depressed is the topic of today's show with your host, Pastor John Ehlers.
Hello and welcome to the Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers, pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent, and I also serve as pastor of the Kent Mission, which meets once a month in Raynham. Again, I'd like to invite you along to any of our services or to any service that's held in the ELCE. Go to our website, lutheran.co.uk, click on the directory button, and find the nearest Lutheran church to where you live. I'd also like to encourage you to go to lutheranradio.co.uk and check out all of the past broadcasts for the Lutheran Inquisitor and indeed all the programs we run. Check out a podcast, have a listen, and share it with your friends. Today we're very glad to welcome to Lutheran Radio UK Dr. Stephen Peach, who is Assistant Professor of Practical Theology at the Australian Lutheran College located in Adelaide, South Australia. His areas of expertise are homiletics, pastoral care, and the Lutheran Confessions. Dr. Peach has just published a new book entitled Of Good Comfort, which deals with Luther's comfort for those who are enduring bouts of depression. Dr. Peach, welcome to the Lutheran Inquisitor.
Thank you, John.
Now, this probably isn't the first thing that people think about when they think of Martin Luther. So, how did you decide to pursue this topic?
Okay, that's a good question. It might seem like a bit of a strange or sort of left field topic, or perhaps even a bit of a gloomy topic. However, I think it's anything that can help us in this day and age help people deal with depression is very important, because depression is no respecter of religion, age, class, or income. It affects people from the very top to the very bottom, or the very left to the very right of our societies. And it's actually an absolute growing world pandemic. And so I became very aware of this as a young man myself when I suffered with depression. And having lived through that and come through that experience, one thing that I've become very sensitive to as a pastor over 20 years is the number of people who suffer from depression, not only people outside the church, but also many people inside our churches suffer with depression. As I then came from parish ministry to do my PhD work and then come into our seminary college in Adelaide as a teacher, I encountered our students, some of whom were depressed. What kind of occurred to me as I worked with them and helped them was that depression was not just, as we often hear, a clinical medical condition that can be treated with chemicals and treated with therapy and so on. It actually has a very large spiritual component. I stumbled one day over some letters by Martin Luther that were written to help people with depression, and what stuck out to me about these letters was the deep spiritual nature in which he dealt with this issue with sufferers of depression. And as I read these letters, I thought, I wonder if these letters will help some of these students who are suffering with it. So I pointed these letters out, thinking that they might give some assistance. But what I found was that the students who were reading these letters had a profoundly positive effect from reading Luther on depression. Luther was writing to people suffering with it. You might know, of course, that Luther suffered profoundly all his adult life with depression himself, and so he understood the deep despair and pain of this illness, and he had great compassion for other people, but also through his own spiritual journey and his own theological development, he began to understand the deep spiritual aspect of it and how to minister to people with depression in order to bring hope. And most importantly, the big word that you find in Luther, the big concept, the big thing that he offers is comfort. People with depression need comfort. They need someone who will be able to give them strength, give them help and courage to face each day. And that comes through, in Luther's case, of course, through reliance moment by moment on God's grace and help in the midst of depression.
Can you give us a few examples of how Luther suffered and how the Word of God came to him and comforted him?
There's lots of stories, but of course depression hit Luther as a young man in the monastery, when he was a young monk here in Germany, and he became deeply despairing over the fact that no matter how hard he tried, he found that he couldn't ever do enough good works or be devoted enough to God so that he could be sure of his salvation, because at that time the Roman Catholic doctrine was that in order to gain some kind of remission from the agony of purgatory, you needed to do good works. He never was able to do enough good works, and this led him to a spiral of despair, which led him to depression. And he became awfully depressed and upset about this over a period of time. And it was his discovery of the gospel and the comfort of the gospel, that big breakthrough of his, which came as he began to be a lecturer in theology himself, that was the main driving force which led him out of his depression. He learned to trust in a loving God. He learned to trust that even though he could not find any reason to hope in life himself, that this reason to hope and this reason to find even joy in the midst of depression came from outside him. It came from God as a gift from outside. As we say in Lutheran theology, this was an extraneous gift, a gift that comes from outside you, a gift that you pray for and receive, that comfort of the Holy Spirit. Luther loved to say in his letters to people with depression, be of good comfort. And what he's really doing there is he's quoting from the Gospel of John. John chapter 19, I think it is, verse 33. He says, Jesus says to his disciples, be of good comfort. I have overcome the world. Luther spoke these verses of comfort to himself and to other people. Because in that overcoming of the world, part of what God has overcome are all things that can distress us and harm us and bring us to despair. He's overcome those as well.
We often think of Luther as a lecturer or a preacher, but I think Luther himself would have wanted us to first think of him as a pastor. And as a pastor, he would have to deal with these situations regularly. So can you give us some examples of what Luther had to deal with among his own parishioners?
Yeah, well, Luther, of course, was a pastor for his whole career, really, as a churchman, as a senior monk and as a senior superintendent in the monastery he served. He was in charge of the spiritual care of a lot of other students, a lot of monks, and a lot of theological students. And this continued after the Reformation began, and he and Katie here in Wittenberg actually offered shelter and a home to several people with chronic severe depression. One such guy was the young man who became student to Luther's children. His name was Jerome Weller. And Jerome Weller was a serious, shy young guy. He came here to Wittenberg as a student. And as often happens, he started to suffer greatly with depression, and Luther worked with him very closely. He understood that people who suffer from depression need support. We often think these days in terms of curing something or overcoming issues. But with depression, one of Luther's great insights was that it's, in this case, with depression, it's more about helping people endure and to live with and live through and live past this experience that's coming to you. And when you see in his work with Jerome Weller that he encourages him to go and have a beer in the tavern, to seek company, to find pursuits which will help him to enjoy himself on some level. And Luther, this is one of Luther's great strategies himself. Luther, of course, also saw that one of the problems with people with depression was that they become, at the same time, very spiritually alive. And often when you talk to people with depression, you'll see that they get a super sensitive conscience. They feel bad about themselves, bad about things that they've done, unable to let past regrets and past sins go. And this really is one of the things that crowds in on top of people. And so Luther very much realised that people who were super sensitive in that way needed a lot of assurance about God's grace. They needed to be said to them again and again and again. And one of the things that strikes you is that Luther is very patient, very supportive, and understanding of the situation that these people are going through. One of the big struggles with dealing with a person, particularly a person who's close to you who's going through depression, is their overwhelming and all-consuming negativity. And part of helping a depressed person spiritually is helping them to bear with that, to keep watch with them, to pray for them, to look after them. When they want to withdraw all the time into solitude and isolation, to break into that gently and to offer them your company and your support. So Luther understood that deep experience himself, and so he understood how to help other people.
This sounds like some things I've experienced in my own ministry. People come to me and they confess their sins, and I pronounce absolution over them. And they say, I know that God can forgive my sins, but Pastor, how can I forgive myself?
I think Luther saw that people who were in depression often found it very difficult to let go of that. There's a very interesting letter, actually, that Luther wrote to his old friend and compatriot here in Wittenberg, George Spalatin. Later on Spalatin's life, Spalatin made a very big professional mistake, and he was very humiliated, and he went into a deep depression over this. And Luther wrote this letter to him, and he said to him, now listen, Spalatin, he said, it's really time for you to get over yourself. He said, do you think you're the only person who's ever committed a sin or ever made a mistake? And you were the only person that God can't forgive? No, of course you're not. God forgives your sins just like he forgives everyone else's sins. And he diagnosed Spalatin's issues a little bit by saying, okay, listen, did you think that you were only a trifling sinner and that you didn't really need a real saviour to save you from real sins? Well, he said, you should come and join the rest of us hard-boiled sinners and realise actually that Jesus shed his blood for you, that your sins are paid for, just like my sins are paid for, so are yours. And so Luther very often saw that people needed help and encouragement and this kind of pastoral exhortation to help them overcome that issue of not being able to forgive themselves and being able to freely receive God's grace offered in Christ.
But it sounds like Luther also told them the truth. Hey, that's right, you did screw up.
That's right. Well, one thing with Luther is he's unerringly realistic, and he never actually sugarcoats things, and he operates with this pastoral dance of law and gospel. He says, yes, you are imperfect. The things in your life that are wrong, okay, they're there. No one's going to try and deny them. No one's going to try and sugarcoat them. But there is the great forgiveness and grace of God in Christ, which is even greater than your sin. And that is the source of hope for people with depression. Yeah. So Luther worked with many such people, and one of the things that you see when you read his letters is the way he listens carefully, he watches carefully, and then responds in a way which is appropriate to that person's situation.
That is part of being a pastor, to listen and to hear where people are. I'm assuming that all kinds of issues came up, and Luther had to deal with them in individual ways. Can you tell us about a few of those?
Yes. Well, one other notable example was actually that Luther was working with a member of the nobility during the early 1530s. One of the neighbouring territories to Saxony here in Germany, the territory of Anhalt-Dessau, there was a young prince who was a shy, serious young man, suffering deeply with depression because he was very deeply spiritually confused about the problem of his salvation. Coming out of the pre-Reformation Catholic idea about the spiritual life, he felt this great need to be penitent, sorry for his sins, to do good works, to assuage his conscience through doing satisfactions, pilgrimages, and all of these things. And yet, like Luther, he couldn't get away from this terrible fear which overcame him, the spiritual fear which turned into, you know, an obsessive and depressive problem. And it's interesting how Luther really fathers this young man and writes to him in a very fatherly way and gets alongside him and encourages him and says, no, be patient, God's doing something here, God's preparing you for something in the future here. Just bide your time. And I'll support you as long as you need that support. So, yeah, he helped this young man who had great demands on his life face up to the public life of a prince. And he realised actually that this person that was very much his better was also just as vulnerable as he was.
It's my understanding that Luther dealt with death on a regular basis, including the death of his own children, death of friends, death of parents, and the death of those at the hand of the plague. Can you tell us about how Luther addressed these situations?
Yeah, that's a little bit outside the scope of my book, but it's nevertheless very very interesting that Luther's letters of comfort to those who are grieving, these letters are also very, very interesting. They're interesting because Luther, once again, doesn't sugarcoat anything. He doesn't try to deny the reality of death.
So he doesn't say, don't cry for me because I'm not really there?
He says, no, cry and grieve, but find hope in Christ again. And one of his big things in his letters and his pastoral care for the grieving is to say, well, look, you're a human being. You're allowed to grieve because you've suffered a great loss. But also you're allowed to find hope again in the promise of resurrection in Christ. And he always speaks those words of hope. If you look at the way his letters are composed, for example, they're very personal and they're very responsive to the individual situation. So Luther really has a lot to teach us about how to support other people and how to support people who are going through really difficult things. And depression, I would say, is one of the most difficult and baffling things which we have to face in this current time. It's a huge problem, and a lot of people suffer from it. And, of course, one of the other associated things that Luther dealt with a lot was the reality of suicide. And that's a whole topic of its own. But once again, when you read the way in which Luther dealt with that situation with people who were feeling suicidal, he would often very strongly say to them, your life is precious to God. Your life, you and your life are precious to God. Even though you feel it's pointless, God is saying to you through me, no, it's not pointless. I created you and you're precious to me. He, with a very depressed military man actually Thuringia, he wrote this guy a letter and said, look, you have got a lot to deal with. You've had to deal with these terrible, violent situations in your life. And all of this is getting on top of you. And he said, well, look, guess who else felt the same way? The prophet Elijah felt the same way. The prophet Jonah felt the same way. He said St. Paul felt the same way, and even Jesus was sick of this life and all of its suffering and all of its difficulty. But they had a role to fulfill, and you have a role to fulfill, and your suffering, even though it might feel really pointless and hard to bear, is nevertheless, your suffering has a purpose, because your life has a purpose under God's care.
As part of this comfort, we've noted that Luther has encouraged people to get out and find consolation in companionship. Now, it's my understanding that Luther counseled people to take comfort in humor, and especially in music. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's another fascinating aspect of Luther's helping people with depression, was the role of music. He played and used music himself to battle his depression, and he often encourages and helps depressed people, other depressed people, to do the same. And particularly, he knew the power of music to soothe the person's deep struggles with depression. But he knew also that when you use music to express praise and thanksgiving and faith, then it becomes a double whammy. When you praise God, this transforms and changes you on the inside, your thoughts, your feelings, that cognitive and affective loop that's going on in depressed people, where they have negative thoughts, negative feelings, and then the thoughts feed the feelings, and the feelings feed the thoughts. He knew that music is one of the things that can break in and interrupt that negative cycle and bring the gift of joy and beauty to people. So, yeah, that music was a really important thing, as was joking and laughter. I reckon if you could have been here in Wittenberg at Luther's dinner table, there would have been a lot of jocularity and laughing, people enjoying food, enjoying wine, in moderation, no doubt, and finding this whole thing of each other's company, and the joy of discovering other people and discovering God's gifts. Those are key things when you're suffering with depression, because you naturally shrink back from everything. And he understood that to activate your appetites and your ability to enjoy the beauty of life was one of the important things that you needed to do. And he did that. A lot himself. Luther himself struggled with depression in an ongoing way throughout his life. And it's probably a fairly important thing to say that Luther himself knew that if you were going to wait until the depression went away before you started living your life, you were going to be waiting a long time. And he said, no, it's a matter of enduring it, battling it with God's help, finding comfort and strength in God day by day, comforting God's gifts, his spiritual gifts, his creational gifts, but most of all, his gift of forgiveness and grace and eternal life. This was the key. I'll just extend a point that I made earlier, and that is that while depressed people are spiritually highly sensitive and highly accessible to spiritual reality during their depressive time, they are also at the same time resistant to spiritual help. And that's where patience and persistence comes in when you're dealing with a person with depression, trying to help them, or if you're a pastor trying to pastor them, is that you need to be ready to repeatedly and consistently step in and speak to them, to initiate contact, to not be put off when that person doesn't respond positively the first time. And so probably it's very important to understand that, yeah, you're helping this person endure a really deep, dark time, and love, patience, and also being prepared to stop and observe what's going on there and respond to the person. The other thing that I would say here is that One of the unique things in Luther's response to these difficult passages of life for people is his theology of the cross, where he says basically, no, your suffering is not a sign that God has abandoned you. Your suffering is actually a sign that he is bringing you close to himself because of what Christ suffered on the cross for us. In Christ's suffering, he has come near to our suffering in every way. And so, just as Jesus hung on the cross and said, God, why have you forsaken me? That's the question a lot of depressed Christians would ask too. And the answer, of course, is that no, God hasn't forsaken us. He's brought us to the cross to be close to his Son, to conform us to his image, so that even as through life we suffer with Christ, so in eternity we will share his eternal glory and his life. And so the theology of the cross is a very important component of Luther's comfort for depressed people.
Dr. Peach, on that note, I'm sorry to say that we seem to have run out of time for this week. But I'd like to invite you and all of our listeners to return back next week as we continue this conversation with Dr. Stephen Peach regarding Luther and how he gave good comfort to those who were suffering from depression.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.